Hey guys, this is Rick Godwin, pastor of Summit Church here in San Antonio. Thanks for joining us today. You know, we're excited to have you on our podcast. Our goal is to inspire you and to challenge you and help everyone realize their full potential in Christ. Now enjoy the message.
I'm glad you're here. If you're visiting, thank you for being with us at Summit. We're travel agents of good news. We don't book guilt trips. So thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us so we could be free. And I'm so glad you came with us tonight to celebrate Good Friday. Hey, nobody ever wants a season of hard times or challenges. Nobody, you know, but they do come. But when they do, they have a way of making everybody kind of stand back and ask the question, what am I really counting on? Am I building my life on a foundation that's solid enough that circumstances that I cannot control can take it away? Can you bet the farm on the life you have today, regardless of the situation you might find yourself in? Well, that's the hope of Easter. That's the hope of Christ, that there's life beyond this life and beyond death. So that's why I've been looking forward to Easter so much, because this weekend we gather to remember Jesus, the only hope capable of sustaining a human life through everything, good days and bad days. You know, sometimes you just have to press through. Everybody has a bad day. Everybody has times that don't go well. I know I came home today and pushed the gate button to open my gate, and I noticed there was fire and smoke rising out of the motor. So I had a burnt offering on my gate this morning, and it's gone. But God said, I love a burnt offering. So I said, praise you, Lord. Unto you I give, dedicate this dumb gate for whatever. So everything happens to everybody all the time. Big deal. Somebody says, well, how do you feel after 20-something hours of flying? I said, it really doesn't matter. You just buckle up, you press forward, you do your job. You show up, you move, whether it's marriage, whether it's business, whether it's ministry. In life, you stand up and you press on. That's the difference in making it and not making it. It's not about how I feel. Everybody has bad days you feel, but you show up anyway. If you're still married if you don't feel good. You still got a job, you got to work if you don't feel good. Well, most people don't go to church, though, when they don't feel good. Unfortunately, you should come. See, Jesus' resurrection from the dead to eternal life was literal, physical, historical, and factual. Jesus' resurrection defines our worth as priceless. Now, you may not think of yourself that way, but God calls you priceless, making your life eternal. Jesus' resurrection makes a huge difference in the daily life because it's ensuring that every form of death will be followed by resurrection life. You know, God's really bad to resurrect dead stuff. He has a habit of not staying down, but rising up. And although he can resurrect physical bodies, we see it in the Bible many times, he'll raise a dead marriage. He can raise people that have a dead dream, that have a dead future, that have a dead life. God's in the resurrection business. And whatever's dead in your life right now, our God can put life into that and make it live again. I'm so glad that he can. Jesus' physical resurrection inspired the disciples over 2,000 years ago to move beyond their fear. Now, by the way, they had a right to be afraid. They had given up everything to follow Jesus, and for two long agonizing days, Jesus was dead in a tomb. So they cowered in fear, thinking everything's lost, and they locked up behind doors, fearful, kind of pondering their predicament. Would they be crucified next? Or how could they live? They had no jobs now. Who would hire them? So at first, only Mary's love was strong enough to overcome fear as she went to visit Jesus' tomb. But Jesus' resurrection changed everything. The disciples buried their fear and their sin. Then they courageously began to spread the gospel, good news of life and love. And they formed the world's first inclusive community, including Jew and Gentile, slave, free, male, female, rich, and poor. See, everybody was welcomed. Everybody could come to that fellowship. It wasn't a fellowship of a political party. It wasn't a racial church. It wasn't a national church. It was a Jesus church. And anybody could show up and come to that church, which makes you wonder, if Jesus said everybody can come, everybody can be a brother and sister and a son of God, how come we got so many churches that are based on politics or based on race? You tell me that that's Bible. It's not even in the Bible. It's an abomination to God. We gather around our type, our socioeconomic status. We have apartheid going on in the church today. And that's a shame. God said, anybody, I don't care if you're a stripper at a men's club, you're welcome here. I don't care what your background is, what your past is. We want you here to hear good news, because only God can change your heart. And he's not going to change your heart if you don't get to hear good news and kind of get to meet this man called Jesus. So together, this team worked with the risen Jesus, now guiding every one of them through the Holy Spirit in their heart and in their mind and thinking to start breaking down every ethnic, social, and cultural barrier. I mean, I don't know what your view of sweet, nice Jesus is. He upset everything. He didn't do anything according to the dictate of the culture. He spoke to women. He had a prostitute wash his feet. He went home with extortionists and bad people with their pimps and prostitutes. He just did everything controversial to the established protocol of his day. And many times with some close friends over coffee, I'll ask, I would love to know what Jesus would do showing up today. How many of you would be offended and not come back to church if Jesus showed up? And I'll guarantee you, if he offended his own mother and his own staff and his own people and his own nation rejected him, I reckon it'd upset you. Yeah, think about that. Yeah, everybody got their little view of Jesus, and he never shows up like you want him to, ever. Jesus' resurrection inspired these people to sacrifice property, their possessions, their reputation, their vocations, and their positions. Jesus' resurrection enabled them to forgive and to help others discover that resurrection life is conquering every form of death. Jesus' resurrection filled them with so much hope that they didn't even fear death itself. I mean, dude, when you see somebody come back from the dead and hang out with you and show you the wounds, you smell his aftershave, and he talks to you, and you say, this is him. This is Jesus. All of a sudden, he's saying, stop being afraid. Death has no sting on you anymore. I've already overcome death and the grave. You don't have to be afraid. So they weren't. They were courageous after they got acquainted with him coming back from the dead. I reckon if you had a husband come back from the dead, it'd shake you up. Some of you wouldn't want him to come back, okay? Well, they had so much hope that they weren't afraid even of death. And most of the first disciples were killed for their belief in the resurrection. Some of the disciples realized Jesus literally, physically rose from the dead on that first Easter Sunday. But others needed a mountain of skepticism to be removed by angels, by an empty tomb, by bloody grave clothes, lying like an empty cocoon, and numerous appearances by Jesus where Jesus touched them, ate fish with them, and Jesus invited them even to put their fingers through the holes the nails had left in his hands. Even Thomas, who had been with Jesus, said, I'm not going to believe it unless I see him and touch him. And Jesus appeared right in the middle of them and said, okay, Tommy boy, come over here. Put your hands in the side that was pierced with a sword. Touch my hands. And he fell on his knees, saying, Lord and my God. And Jesus says, you're blessed because you have seen and touched me. How much more blessed are those who haven't had the privilege to see me, yet they believe in me and what I've done. We carry a greater blessing today than old Thomas did. Thomas had the real McCoy in his hands. And God says, now you're going to go out and spread this good news. The good news is not don't smoke. You're going to hear everything, but the main reason Jesus died on the cross wasn't to cure your smoking. Okay? The wages of sin is death. He just wanted to take the penalty of judgment away from you. That's it. Now, obviously, he can help our lives become better. But whether that occurs in the way you want it to or not really doesn't matter. The whole purpose was redemption on that cross, shedding innocent blood for the guilty party, which is us, so we could go free. It's like walking out of a prison because he says, well, the governor has given you a full pardon. You're free. You were guilty of sin, but you've been pardoned. And that's, I'm going to tell you something, that'll make a Baptist dance. Yeah, if you could see what you are entitled to legally, but you don't have to face, that somebody else took your place and took judgment and death and destruction. So our main focus on the good news was that God will forgive anybody. God will receive anybody. I don't care what nation you're from, what race you're from, what your background or past is. It's look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. So the gospel gave facts. It named people that were in charge of the crucifixion. Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Sanhedrin. And he did that so the resurrection could be confirmed with living people and historical records for confirmation. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 that after Jesus was raised from the dead, Jesus appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters, most of whom, he said, are still alive. In other words, the resurrection literally happened, and if you have any doubt, you can confirm the resurrection with all these people still alive who saw him, who touched him, who talked to him. Scripture even includes some significant details, like in Mark 15, which says, a certain man of Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by in from the country, and the Romans forced him to carry Jesus' cross. This is not a follower of Jesus. This is just a guy going through town who got apprehended, and Paul is careful to name him, his sons, so that people could confirm the resurrection with unbiased non-believers who happened to be there. So you could go on and on with evidence that clearly supports Jesus' physical resurrection from death unto life. And by the way, it is the resurrection, not Christmas birth. It is the resurrection that separates Christianity from every other religion. Every other teacher is dead as Julius Caesar. Our God is alive and he reigns. And that is the foremost point of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus. Now, you know, I suspect you're more interested in what it means for us today. See, Jesus' resurrection validates all of his miracles, all of his teachings, and all of his declarations about the future. It validates that Jesus did what Jesus said he would do. Jesus is who he claimed that he was. See, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, for I and the Father are one. He was claiming to be God, and it upset the religious people. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen him. I am the express image of my Father. Jesus came for one reason, to die. He didn't come to be a good example. Oh, gag me. He came to die. He was the sacrificial lamb that the Jews had been killing for 1,500 years so they wouldn't have to die and judgment wouldn't come. And now the Lamb of God isn't four legs, it's two legs, and it's the perfect sinless Son of God, and he's going to take their shame, their guilt, their condemnation on himself. He's talking about himself. And nothing else could do that, could make atonement. We'll talk about that on Sunday. So this risen, incarnate God is now working to resurrect everyone and everything. He wants to make you alive. He said, come to me and live. See, Jesus' resurrection means you can put yourself into any of the gospel stories. If you can identify with any of the people who need healing, forgiveness, guidance, encouragement, hope, a friend, joy, a shepherd, peace, an advocate, love, or a savior, you can be sure Jesus will provide all of that for you and a whole lot more. He's everything to me. See, Jesus' resurrection defines your worth. What are you worth? What's your value? I've heard people say, oh, he's worthless as trash, or she's this, or maybe because of a bad lifestyle, parents defamed you as well and saw no value in your life at all. Every human being on this earth has value with God. Now, maybe your net worth by worldly standards has taken a beating in the last few years, or maybe the value of your home or your retirement account or your assets, maybe they've dropped. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe your favorite organization is struggling. Maybe you feel as though a part of you has been lost due to the death of a friend or a loved one. See, Jesus' resurrection defines your true worth as infinitely valuable, incalculable. In God's eyes, your value never fluctuates. Now, the gold price on the stock market will fluctuate, right? Stocks will fluctuate. Your value before God never changes. In God's eyes, you never lose any value. You individually will always be worth the life of Jesus, God's only Son. Let me give you a little example here. In my hand is a $20 bill. I suppose if I said anybody could have it, somebody would take it. Would that be a fair assumption? That's 20 bucks. But what if I told you, calm down, you need to know something about that $20 bill. That's been used to get in a strip club. That's been used for a lap dance. That's been used to pay a prostitute for sex. That's bought drugs. That's been in gang money. That was in stolen money. Bad money. Anybody still want that $20 bill? You are very smart. You're very smart. That lady right there in the black sweater, right there, you. Yeah, you come get that $20 bill. You said you'd take it, would you? Now, she knows something that the average Christian doesn't know. No matter what that $20 bill has been through, the United States Treasury deems its value as $20. Good day, bad day, its value did not change. And your value does not change day to day when we blow it, when something bad happens, when you've had some bad activity or actions. Our blood of Jesus will cleanse you and forgive you, but your value did not drop in the sight of God. So put your worldly value in perspective. See, you look at it through the lens of Jesus' resurrection, because your net worth, your career, your status, your fame, your power, your hotness, even your health is temporal, right? It isn't going to last. I look at some of you. I've been in here 30-something years, and I've seen some of you decrease with me. Yeah, you definitely have dressed. You've dropped in physical value, but you haven't dropped in spiritual value. See, but you... What's good is you and all the love you have ever given or received in any form will always be precious to God. On your worst day, I see people crawling to Jesus, you know, oh, I'm a worm, I'm this. Yeah, probably you are, but the point is, he said, you can come boldly to the throne of God saying, Daddy, Daddy. You know, my daughter sitting over here, one of them, my kids have never made an appointment with my personal administrator. They've never had to go through a secretary, say, I need an appointment to see Dad. Shoot, no, they just ran in. Daddy, I need 20 bucks. And then they got older. Dad, I need 100 bucks. Dad, I need this or I need that. I want to buy this or I want to buy that. And now it's the grandchildren. They want something. None of them said, O thou my grandfather who partest thy hair on the left side. That's religious. He says, you come on, you come right. You can go behind the veil now. It's been split. You can come boldly to the throne of God through Jesus and go, Daddy, Daddy, I need. Or Daddy, Daddy, I've had a bad day. Or I've blown it today, Daddy. You think about that. That's precious. Bring that right into family talk, because that's what he's showing us. Because everybody was afraid of God before Jesus came. And after he came and paid for our sins and made atonement for us at the cross, the veil was split and you had direct access to God. You could go beyond the veil through Jesus. You didn't have to crawl in. You didn't have to burn candles. You didn't have to make crucifix signs. You didn't have to count beads. You didn't have to do so many good things. You just come right to Jesus, right straight through that veil. That's incredible. Do you know how many other people? Only Jesus made it possible for you to have eternal life, total forgiveness, adopted as a child of God by faith in what Jesus did. Everybody else, it's what you do to go in there. Well, you got to do this. You got to wear a suicide vest. You got to keep this. You can't eat at lunch. You can't do this. It's all what you do. Christianity is real simple. It's what he did. It's done. It is finished. I don't do anything to earn this eternal life. That's why this is such a wonderful, good message. It's for everybody. What do you have to do, Rick? I just can't live that life. You shoot, who could? Only Jesus could. The Hebrews had the law 1,500 years, Moses' law. Nobody kept it. Nobody could keep it. In fact, Paul really slaps the Galatians around. He said, if you try to keep one part of the law, you got to keep it all. So if you wore mixed fabric in here, you sinned. If you wear cotton and artificial material, you sinned. You're looking at me strange. I mean, you go back and look at all this stuff. You had to keep it all. And if you break one part of the law, you're guilty of all of it. Can you see why it was hopeless? And when God let us choke on that, he said, now I'm going to show you a better way. I'm going to let somebody else do that perfectly. And if you'll receive him, I will accredit to you, you did it. So he who knew no sin became sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So it's an accounting term. I have been accounted as being righteous before God because of my faith in Jesus, and he accounts that I kept the law. I never kept the law a day in my life. You get me on 281, I'll break every law. And so will some of you. Yeah, no, I need grace. I need mercy. I need what Jesus gave at the cross. So you are worth more than all the treasures of the world to God. See, I and you are worth what my Creator says I'm worth, not what the world says, what God says. For God so loves you, God sent Jesus to you. God resurrected Jesus so that everyone who receives him will never perish, but have everlasting life. See, your true worth will never fade, and you will be resurrected and enjoy eternal life with God. Scripture sums it up in three words in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I think it's verse 8. Love never fails. It never ends. Jesus' resurrection should disperse all of my fears. My future will never be at risk, no matter what happens on planet Earth or to my life. That's important. I remember sitting by the bedside of one of our founding members, Gary Cheek. I know Sandy and Randy and some of you knew Gary. And Gary was a former Air Force pilot. He came in early on our church beginnings in those days. And a wonderful guy, great servant, and helped us in formulating the church in those early days. But it wasn't but about 2 years ago or so, he was stricken with stage 4 cancer. And in his case, he didn't get well. And in his case, he was just about to die. And I went up to sit with him in the hospital, all these tubes and stuff in him and monitors on him, big old grin on his face. He'd lost all of his hair due to chemo, and he didn't have very long to live. In fact, after I left him, it was only about 24 hours or 48 hours before he went to be with Jesus. But I remember there was no sadness in that room at all when I walked in and sat with Gary, because he said, this is what we signed up for. Eternal life. This body is frail. This body is subject sometimes to disease, accidents, or circumstances of war or terrorism. But he said, I've got to move beyond this cancer. He said, I have resurrection life. I am begotten of God. I will live forever. This body is like a bad suit. It's decayed. But me, I'll live forever with my Savior in heaven, and that eternal life gave him no sadness. And when we did his funeral, it was nothing but joy and hope and celebration. And by the way, you'll be there one day too, maybe sooner than you think. And the great hope is that no matter what life throws at me, I've got a Redeemer, I've got a Savior, I've got a future. He's going to be with me. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you on your worst day. That's good to know. no matter what choices I make, sometimes stupid, God will always love you. God will resurrect you. Your future will have some problems, some challenges, some struggles. However, all of that and every form of death has been conquered by our Christ. All of it is fading away and being replaced with resurrection life. Jesus took every one of your darkest moments and every form of death you will experience on himself on the cross. So your future is secure. So live life abundantly. For Psalms 23, verse 6 says, surely you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Once we get separated, if you're a believer in Jesus, not if you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Catholic, if you're a believer and follower of Jesus, hey, we're all going to be reunited. I'll see you again, whatever happens, whether it's a tragedy, whether it's a disease, whether you just expired, doesn't matter. We'll all be reunited. And the Bible says we will know as we were known. Jesus' resurrection ensures every form of death in your daily life can be followed with resurrection life. Jesus can resurrect your dreams, your future, your life, your catastrophic situation. God can resurrect everything dead in your life. See, he's not abandoned us. Jesus is not just preparing you a room in heaven. Jesus is also here and now with every one of us, every moment of our life. When bad news comes, he's still here. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you on your worst day. In the tomb, scripture states in John 20, the cloth that had covered Jesus' face was folded up, lying to the side. Now, the custom of that time was for the head of the house to signal their intentions at a meal with their napkin. At the table, if the head of the household was finished, they would wipe their fingers and their mouth, wipe up the napkin, toss it on the table. That was the signal. They were done with the meal, and that it should be cleared away and the table reset for the next meal. If they got up from the table but folded the napkin and laid it to the side of the plate, that meant they're coming back. Jesus was sending a clear message to the disciples. I am coming back. Kind of reminds me of the Terminator. I'll be back. That's what Jesus said. See, Jesus is not through with this world. Jesus is not given up on any of us. Jesus does not want creation to be cleared away and reset. He's come back to resurrect everyone and everything. And ultimately, when he does return, he will redeem everything, make a new creation. John wrote our scripture so it would resonate with everybody today. The focus and climax that was Mary recognizing the resurrected Jesus. And her message to us was, I have seen the Lord. See, there's a fictional story, an urban legend, and I may have used it years ago, about a tour guide that took a group through an art gallery in London. And the guide stopped in front of a painting entitled Checkmate. And the guide talked about the painting, the style, the texture, and then moved on. But one person stayed behind, staring at the chess pieces on the chessboard in that painting. And the chess game was between the devil and a guy called Dr. Faust, who had sold his soul to the devil. It appears as if the devil has won. Faust has only the king, the queen, and one weak pawn left. And the devil has a smirk on his face in the painting, as if waiting for the final verdict. Checkmate. And the young man who stayed to study the painting was a chess champion. And when the tour group was about two corridors away, they suddenly heard this strange member running down the hallway shouting, it's a lie, it's a lie. He still has another move. There is another move, he said. See, Jesus' resurrection ensures, hey, baby, there's always another move. We can push this metaphor even further. Even if the devil would have succeeded in getting a checkmate, the game is never over because Jesus takes our place in the game and gives us another chance, an entirely clean slate until we achieve that perfect, abundant, eternal life. It may look like it's over, but because of Jesus, it's never over. I'm never out. I always have another move with the Lord, which is giving you hope. You know, Good Friday, lies all around us. And by the way, you may not know this, but for years and years, it was called Black Friday, not Good Friday. It was only years later that the reality of what Jesus did on Easter in the resurrection, it became Good Friday. Because all around the Black Friday, which now we call Good Friday, was death and judgment, destruction and depression. Because everybody that followed him thought, well, the game's over. There's our leader. He's dead. Well, we thought this and we thought that. So everybody felt hopeless. It was a lousy day on that Friday, which is why they called it Black Friday. But that wasn't the end of it. See, the world may look hopeless. Don't ever believe that lie. Jesus said, I want to give you resurrection life and hope. And resurrection hope is not based on wishful thinking. Resurrection hope is fueled by the power of God. Resurrection hope is empowered by Jesus working in your life right now, every day. You will always have a move left with Jesus. It may look bad today, but you've still got to move. There's always hope for tomorrow. There's always hope. God can transform it. God can change. He can make the sun stand still. He can back it up 10 degrees. He can change the king's heart and turn it any way he wants. He can feed you with manna. He can send dirty birds to take care of you in the interim of your need. Our God can do anything but fail. I always feel I got another move, no matter how dark the circumstances may look. See, you will always have a move left. Doesn't matter what the situation is, whether your marriage is broken or you have some type of illness or infirmity or your finances are in shambles, you're lonely or you're depressed, you've committed a huge sin, you're addicted, even if you have a terminal disease, whatever situation you find yourself in, with Jesus, there's always at least one more move left. And Jesus always provides another move, a resurrection move of life. So he could say, oh, grave, where is your sting? You haven't got it because Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. I got another move on any day of my life. So don't give in to the dark Good Friday lies. Dr. William Coffin wrote, are we going to continue the illusion of a Good Friday world, meaning death and destruction, or start living the reality of an Easter one? Jesus says, go tell the good news. Go tell that God is in the process of defeating every form of death with resurrection life. God's rolling away the stone of lies and defeat, and Jesus' resurrection is just the beginning, for God will ultimately redeem us and this world around us and all of creation. We should live in the Easter reality. So try to perceive how God's kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven. Did he not say, when you pray, pray thy kingdom come? It's amazing. Christians all want to leave. Jesus said, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, it's not that way right now, but he promises one day he'll right the wrong. And it will happen. So perceive how you can join Jesus in quickening the ultimate defeat of death so all can be whole and perfect, and perceive how you can embody God's resurrection and his will in your daily life. Even when you find yourself standing in the middle of a graveyard, like Mary, even when nothing makes sense, even when every door looks closed to you, remember, hey, with Jesus, I've still got another move. The move of the resurrection. You can take my life, but you can't take eternity from me. You can take a job, but you can't take God's love and care for me and his promise to supply my need. You can't take from me what God has given to me. So this Easter, are we going to believe the lies of a Black Friday world or believe in Jesus' resurrection, your future eternal resurrection life, your undiminished worth and value, and the resurrection of every dead thing? Jesus came to give you life and give it to you abundantly. See, you can believe in the resurrected Jesus who is partnering with you to bring life out of every form of death today.
Hey, thanks again for joining us today. If you enjoyed the podcast, subscribe and share it with a friend. Follow me by visiting the links in the description. I'm praying today that God richly blesses you this entire week.